A few weeks ago, Governor Ige signed new Department of Health rules banning new cesspools in Hawaii. That was after several lawmakers sent a letter imploring him to consider the situation of more rural areas of the state. Last week, we spoke to one of the champions of the opposition, Representative and physician Richard Cregan. He said that there were no problems with cesspools in the upper elevations on the Big Island, for example, and that for people building in rural areas, the cost of a septic system was prohibitive and unnecessary based on science. Roger Babcock says he's partly right. Mr. Babcock is a UH Manoa Associate Professor of Civil and Environmental Engineering, and he's on the line with us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Beth Ann. It's a pleasure to be here.
Good to talk to you. Now, in that letter that several lawmakers sent in February, they said, quote, because of our high temperatures, much of the fluid is likely to be vaporized. Nitrogen in the waste is largely gasified, while phosphorus is tightly bound to the surrounding rock and moves very little. Is that a valid assessment?
Well, it would be nice if that was the way such systems work, but they don't really work that way. The physics and chemistry and biology, tell us something different.
What exactly do they say?
Well, a cesspool is basically a disposal device, so we don't think of it as a treatment device. It's basically, another word for it would be a seepage pit. It's a device where you put water in so that it would seep out rapidly and enter the ground. You don't want water to pool up or overflow or whatever. So it's basically a hole in the ground where water will disperse from. And in order to do treatment, a significant amount of treatment, you have to have a different kind of device.
Okay, if you need a different kind of device for doing the treatment, what about then what the opposition has been saying, that, for example, it gets self-treated because of the higher elevation, because it's lava rock, all of that, and that the soil is, in effect, porous? Does that affect what you see?
Right. So because it's porous, that means that the water drains out very rapidly, and any material that's left behind would be solid material that it can't pass into the pores. So solid material would include, things like paper and whatever you put down the drain, which is shower water and sinks and toilets. So you'd have solid material would be retained in a pile, essentially, in the bottom of a cesspool, and the water would drain out very rapidly. So anything that's in that water, dissolved materials, would just rapidly infiltrate into the ground. So it doesn't stay there at the surface to evaporate or vaporize. In order for nitrogen components in that liquid water to be transformed, say biologically, that requires different microorganisms to work together in a couple different kinds of organisms under different conditions, and that requires an engineered system to do. We spend quite a bit of effort and money to do that in treatment plants. But it doesn't occur easily in a system like that.
So you're saying that gasification doesn't naturally occur because it's really a two-part process, one that happens whatever naturally occurring things, bacteria may be in the water to do that, but then there has to be something else that's done additionally?
Correct, yeah. So that would be for the nitrogen. So to do nitrogen gasification, it requires a first an aerobic step and then an anoxic step, and that requires some doing to make that happen.
So if this is, in fact, what you show and what research bears out, how is it then that those people who have been opposing the cesspool ban, specifically in rural areas, are able to justify it with their science? Is this a case of, well, my science is better than your science?
Well, I don't know of any science that would say that those things occur. I think it's It would be nice to wish that that would happen, but the science doesn't show that. Now, I would point out that that doesn't mean that the main statement that cesspools work fine in certain places. That kind of depends on the perspective of what you mean works fine. Something can work in the sense that the water disappears, a lot of stuff doesn't accumulate, it never overflows. So from the homeowner's point of view, that works fine, right? It's not a problem. It doesn't cause them any problems. But in terms of working fine for the environment or for the water table below where the water is infiltrating to, that's a different question. It's not working fine for that.
And some of the things that we've heard is that, well, the water table is far away from where a lot of these areas are, where cesspools may be in rural areas, for example. Is there any sort of compromise position you think that Hawaii should be taking, or do you think that having the outright ban is absolutely the way to go?
Well, I mean, I think the way to look at it is if, you know, there's parallels with other things, possibly medicine, for example. I think, you know, we do vaccinations to do prevention. So if we accept the idea that the science that says that these systems don't really treat anything, and whatever's in the water is going to infiltrate very rapidly downward and eventually make it to groundwater, the groundwater then would become, you know, contaminated. The question is whether that water is used by anybody or needs to be now or maybe in the future. So it's kind of like contaminating water and then worrying about it later. You're either going to prevention is a much easier way to than contaminating something and having to clean it up later when you want to drink it or use it for something else. I think one thing, the way people could think about it is if you have real clean groundwater below you, which comes from rainfall and stuff like that, and it's pretty pure. And then you have some of this other water, sewage water, that you just put through a bed of rock, and you have the water that came out of that. Mm-hmm. And so I think we can kind of imagine what that water's like. So if you were to then mix those two waters together in whatever proportion you want, I think the question you're asking is, well, if I was then going to drink that mixture of water, what kind of treatment would I want to have had for before I mix those two waters together? So it's kind of about prevention and looking ahead.
All right. Professor Babcock, thank you very much for your time this morning.
You're very welcome. Have a nice day.
You too. Roger Babcock is an associate professor of civil and environmental engineering at UH Manoa. He also chairs a civil and environmental engineering graduate program and specializes in biological wastewater treatment, reuse, and recycling.